You know, all the years we've been coming to Lowell, our standard joke has been, well, we've got to make sure that we stay that extra 5 minutes and see the sight of Lowell, singular. But we're about to get schooled on that false premise by MRT House Manager John Dyson, who's taking us on a tour of Lowell and its environs and all the famous people and sights that we're here. Thank you, John.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know if we'll see everybody, but we'll see a few.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 268, Touring Lowell, Mass. During our month-long run at the Merrimack Repertory Theater last November and December, we finally got a chance to get out and see the sights, plural, of Lowell, Massachusetts, home of Jack Kerouac, painter James Whistler, Betty Davis, U.S. TV sidekick Ed McMahon, three baseball Hall of Famers, and boxer Mickey Ward, whose story was told in the movie The Fighter, starring Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale. And who better to take us around than John Dyson, MRT's house manager and fantastic host to both the visiting artists and audiences alike. Reed Martin, Matt Rippey, and I hopped in John's car for our tour, and Rippey asked the most important question first.
The first question is, John, can you talk and drive at the same time? I need to know. Wait, seatbelt.
I am a Lowell driver, so that should answer itself. But no, we're...
You are a proud masshole.
Yeah, exactly. We're actually starting the road that I'm turning down right now is the road that the old Worthen is on. The Worthen is the oldest bar in Lowell. It is also the bar that Jack took up the back corner table when he was writing most of his novels. This is the bar. It was built in 1834. That people will have pictures and say that Jack Kerouac basically wrote most of his novels when he was in Lowell in that bar right there, the old Worthen.
Nice.
I've had a drink in there, but all I wrote were a few emails, really.
Well, now there's going to have a very, very reduced plaque in the back saying that.
And did you write them with no punctuation and just as a big long run-on?
Oh, yeah, total stream of consciousness. Yeah.
While you were having gay sex?
Indeed, yeah, that's all true.
If we had kept going straight down the road, you would have came to the James Whistler House, but I am turning to a little farther up, because if you did in fact read Mickey Ward's book or see the movie
The Fighter,
you will remember the scene for the Olympias Hotel where the policeman broke Mickey's hand right before one of his major fights, and that's the Olympus room right there. That's the parking lot where it went down, where they actually did break his hand, and they show that in The Fighter itself.
Wow,
in the movie.
That's right. And they shot that right there?
They shot that right there in that parking lot in that club.
Wow. Very cool.
And
James Whistler, we were going to go down that street to see James Whistler, the painter. Of Whistler's mother's fame.
Exactly. And yeah. that house and the gallery and Whistler House is here in Lowell. And it is right down that street over there. And also coming up here on your right, you're going to see the American Textile History Museum, one of the largest textile museums in the country. And it is also here in Lowell.
Well,
they have a space exhibit going on right now.
Here's a nice space, you know, that's one of the exhibits. Here's another lovely space, that's one of the other exhibits. Lowell is a, famous thriving mill town from the 19th century.
We were the first industrial mill city in the country. Most of the riverways that you see here will have driven at one point parts of the city or parts of the mills. Also coming up here on your right is Fury's Cafe, another haunt that Mickey tended to go to, as well as family, when
they
were here.
There's a sign that says Budweiser and live music. Now, how come I haven't been there?
Wait a minute.
Well, considering this is the bar that I shoot pool at every Monday night, I'm not sure why we haven't got you down to Fury's, but we can take care of that problem this weekend.
Wasn't Fury's the one we said keeping local riffraff hammered since 1932 in the sports show?
Fury's is the bar that took the ad out with you last year.
I'm thinking that the reason I haven't been here is because it's more than crawling distance. So
right. It's a very, very long, painful crawl home.
Yeah, last fall when we were here for the sports show, on only my about fifth visit to Lowell, I went through the national park where they give you a tour of the old mills, and you can take a boat ride on the canals that they dug to power all the, you know, the machinery in the mills, and it was very interesting, and it was sort of, it was the hub, the original hub of the American portion of the Industrial Revolution.
Yep.
Well, and like so many 19th century mill towns in the Northeast, American Northeast, it's fallen on hard times, or it fell on hard times in sort of the middle of the 20th century. And now, in the last 10 years, at least since the time we've been coming here, but also my wife grew up in Tewksbury in her lifetime, it's really been coming back up.
Lowell didn't have a great rep when I first moved out here in 92. I actually moved out here from Narragansett, Rhode Island, living at a beach, and moved to Lowell. And my wife used to give me heck because I would call it Lower Hell instead of Lowell because I went from living at the beach to living in a city where I had to say, is that a prostitute? Where did I move to? HBO was still doing High on Crack Street specials about Lowell, so you know, first week in my new apartment, I'm watching TV and it's High on Crack Street, and I'm calling out to my wife, "Honey, why am I recognizing houses on High on Crack Street?"
But times have changed.
Times have changed. Lowell is fantastic right now. They've gotten behind the arts. We've got the Songus Arena, which has had professional hockey and is now affiliated with UMass. We've got our building, the auditorium, which also brings in Broadway shows and tours and concerts. We've got the MRT, which everybody has gotten behind as a Lloyd Theater to bring in acts like yourselves. All the galleries have opened up. They've actually started doing condos specifically for artists here in the city. So Lowell has made leaps and bounds from when I first moved here. I would have no problem inviting anybody, not only my family, but also friends to come out to Lowell.
And you're saying that that's all like in the past 10 years, it's really on the up and up.
10 years, it really
interesting. Passed. Last 10 years. And Reed, Austin, when did the Reduce start coming here?
About 10 years ago, Matt Rippey.
You decide.
You know, when you're not working for the theater, John, you should drive a tour bus. You're good.
I've actually talked about that, but the tour that I would like to do, and I don't have enough time to do it with you guys today because I would need my GPS. I don't know all the exact streets. There's actually 6 castles in Lowell, actual castles, in the city of Lowell, and one of them is actually a completely round castle.
Was this built by the industrial robber barons, or why are there castles?
Well, we also had a lot, you know, we had a lot of captains, and being a river city and things like that. And there was some wealth in the city and things like that. You know, we had Prince Spaghettiville. We had the Prince Company here in Lowell for years before they shut down the warehouse. It's actually a magnet school now, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, there's some amazing architecture in this town.
And do they let you in those castles to play around?
Every now and then there's a couple of them that will do tours, like at Christmas and things like that, when they decorate the houses, that type of thing. But it would definitely be something that I would look into, because I think it would be very interesting. I know I went out of my way to find them when I first got out here. I'm going to take you by what was the Highland Tap. It is no longer the Highland Tap. They closed it right after the movie was made. The gentleman sold it. And right now it's getting turned into a little antique shop, believe it or not. But you'll recognize the street. Whoa. You'll recognize the street because it's the street in the movie that they walk up when Mickey's doing his street job and paving.
Okay. Right. And it seems a weird time to sell it right when the movie comes out. It would seem to get some attention.
It was actually on the market beforehand, and they gave him enough money to film all the scenes there that he kept it open for that year, because they basically paid him more than he would have made to keep it open for that whole year anyway.
Wow.
And
so that's where Mark Wahlberg met Amy Adams, is that?
Yes, the place? Okay. That is exactly where.
And where does Amy Adams live? Is she close by?
No, she's not close by, unfortunately.
That's why I'm getting out.
Now, in real life, they got married?
Amy Adams and Mark Wahlberg?
No. Mark's been married to his.
No, not Amy Adams. I'm Mickey Ward and
yes,
the lady.
Yes.
And did they have kids?
Yes, they do.
Oh, great.
That is what was Highland Tap, and it now is in an antique store. It's something with language that I can't read.
Right.
So, another Lowell development.
Excellent.
This is the Captain John's Lounge. That's what Dickie was most recently in the news for. There was a fight that went down around the corner on that Dickie got into a little bit of trouble about. With that one, and then it ended up being found to be someone else. But that is also Captain John's, which also was in the movie for some filming.
So Dickie and Mickey Ward are still presences here in Lowell.
Very definitely. Okay, we're coming up to the White House, and the fire station that was in the movie. This is the White House right here on your left that they kept having Dickie jump out of the second floor window anytime his mother came to find him.
That's right.
That's the building.
Right.
And another side bit of interest on that. In real life, the jump out the window thing only happened once that everybody knows about. But for the movie, they just kept going back to it over and over and over again.
And so that brings up an interesting question. How true to real life did the facts of the movie stick?
I thought the actors were phenomenal. Most people thought the actors were phenomenal, to the point where some of the girls, some of his sisters actually got a little upset. His mom actually got a little bit upset, and God rest her soul, she unfortunately passed away. Both Mickey's parents have passed away since the movie originally came out. But the girls and his mom got a little bit upset because of how well the actresses did roles.
Did they say they were exaggerating themselves, or they recognized that it was accurate? Everybody else besides them knew it was accurate.
They thought it was exaggerated. Everybody else was like, well, you know, we've been telling you for years.
Didn't the sisters wander into the Merrimack admin offices? And I think Dan Berube tells a story about the sisters walking in, and it was like they had walked straight off the screen and were standing there.
Well,
in the
office. They still have the Golden Gloves at the auditorium every year. And Mickey's still involved. You know, he's usually got at least one person that he's training here or there, or some kids that he's working with. So they're still a very large presence when the fights come around. And, you know, Mickey, being who he is always doing charity events and signing pictures and posters and doing things for charity for the kids when the fights come around. So he's just a really good guy.
Yeah, I think Dan was saying they came in to see, they're trying to get into the big auditorium, and somehow they wandered into MRT.
They went in the wrong door, yes.
And they said, oh yeah, we're Mickey Ward's sisters, like completely unprompted.
And I think it didn't need prompting, because I think you could tell.
one of whom in the movie was played by Conan O'Brien's sister.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Conan O'Brien is also from around this area.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, you know, this area has produced a lot of famous people and names, more than my hometown.
Well, we're actually coming up on a street. I'll just point to it so we won't disrupt the family or nothing. But if you look down this street here, the second house, the little white house there, that Cape Cod, this famous guy named Dyson and his family lives there.
Hey, I'm Connor Lestoka from the Citation Needed podcast and RiffTracks.com, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This winter, spring, and summer of 2012, you'll be able to RSC us in 34 cities in the U.S. and the U.K., cities like Midland, Michigan, Fairfield, Connecticut, Stowe, Vermont, Reston, Virginia, New Bremen, and New Philadelphia, Ohio, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Waverly, Iowa, Tacoma, and Edmonds, Washington, Sonoma, and Santa Rosa, California, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma in May, and then we head over to the UK, to York, Buxton, Exeter, Newbury, Nottingham, Truro, Poole, Tunbridge Wells, Canterbury, Leamington Spa, Derby, Hereford, Rhyl, Barnsley, Salford, Lichfield, Basingstoke, Crawley, Bedford, Tewkesbury, and London. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to our tour of Lowell, Mass. As John was catching us up on the rest of the story of boxer Mickey Ward and what will probably be the plot of The Fighter 2.
Contemplating retirement again, from what I've told, and then had the three fights with Arturo Gatti, which have been known to be three of the best fights of the 20th century. Their fights were in the realm of Ali Frazier. I mean, they were amazing. And I was lucky enough to actually go and see them. We actually rented an RV for two of them and drove out for one of them because we got lucky, and two out of the three were in Connecticut. The last one was Atlantic City. And we actually drove out to see them, and the fights were just simply amazing. Both of those guys just pounded on each other like they were pieces of granite. and it was amazing. But then after that happened, after the third fight, Mickey lost. And he had stopped fighting, and Arturo was getting into a major fight and actually asked Mickey to train him. And Mickey trained Arturo for one of his last fights. He was in his corner. And then, unfortunately, Arturo was killed, murdered, died, committed suicide. Depending on who you talk to, depends on the story that you get. They had at one point ruled it a suicide, and now have reopened it as a murder. So we'll see just how deep this second fighter movie gets into, because it will obviously encompass all of those things that happened.
So Mickey fought against Arturo and then trained him.
Yeah, he fought him once, won. Fought him once, lost. Fought the third fight, lost, and then ended up training him because Arturo wanted, you know, he said that nobody had given him the fight that Mickey did, so he wanted Mickey to train him, and they ended up becoming very close friends.
And then he trained Apollo Creed, and then he beat Mr. T, right? Isn't that how it goes?
But as a matter of fact, when the fighter was filming was when Arturo passed away, we'll say. And it actually affected some of the filming because Mickey, you know, stopped the filming to be able to go out there to deal with everything that was happening.
Right, and were they
that close?
And were they close while they were fighting those epic battle fights? Were they friends during those fights or only after?
I think when you get into a fight like that with somebody, you just automatically gain that much respect for the person on the other side of you. And I think that's what happened. And that respect grew into friendship, and that friendship grew into them working together. And I think it would have gone on for years had the unfortunate circumstances that happened with Arturo not happened.
So Mickey and Dickie were very involved in the making of the movie, or around?
Matter of fact, Mark Wahlberg lived, he moved Mickey and Dickie into his house and had a ring at his house for a year. That they trained every single day. Mark wanted that to be, he wanted it to be his Raging Bull. He wanted it to be the best fighting movie you would see. So he wanted it to be as real as possible. He dove headfirst into that role. That was his baby. It had gotten dropped by places, and he was the one that kept that going and made sure that that movie got made. And Mickey and Dickie are very close to Mark and very close to Christian Bale, as you can see, as they called him out and onto the stage when they were winning their Oscars and awards and things like that. The first fighter, I thought, was actually a lot about Dickie as well as Mickey. I think the second version will be a lot more about Mickey.
It says a lot about Wahlberg as an actor. I mean, Christian Bale got rightly praised for his performance because it was really great.
Christian Bale was Dickie Eklund.
But also, his performance doesn't work if Mark Wahlberg's performance isn't as good.
Right.
You know? And it's so quiet and still as a contrast to Dickie.
Yeah. Bale impressed me to no end just because he nailed all of Dickie's characteristics, his tics, his voice, everything. And then you talk to Christian Bale on set, and all of a sudden he drops into that English accent, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. You're not from New England. Damn.
You're from old England.
Yeah, you know, it's like, wow. There were some really nice people to work with, too. I had the ability to be an extra on the set, and they were all great to work with.
And has Dickie managed to keep his life together?
He's working. You know, sometimes it's a struggle for people every single day, but he's fighting the fight, and he's doing what he needs to do, or at least trying to do what he needs to do.
Yeah. Can we see you in the movie?
You know, I'm sure if I were to go through and stop it second by second and be like, hey, that's my finger in the third row. You know, but I have a rule when I do extra work. If I'm not on screen long enough for one of my friends to call me on the phone and say, hey, I think I just saw you in a movie. Then I wasn't on screen long enough. But Lowell has done a lot of flicks, as well as The Fighter. They did Invention of Lying a couple of years back, which that's the one movie that I did get enough FaceTime on. I'm in the scene where they're at the La Boniche restaurant, and they're on their first date.
This is a Ricky Gervais movie.
It's a Ricky Gervais movie with Jennifer Garner, yep. And I'm in the background as she's telling her mom that, nope, he won't get laid that night. Another one that I had one of my bucket list moments because it had Kevin James and Henry Winkler, Henry known as the Fonz, and as they're walking to the ring, I got to high-five the Fonz, and my movie career will be made if I can watch that movie and say, that's me high-fiving the Fonz. I'm done. It doesn't top that.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Keep an eye out for Here Comes the Boom, opening this summer 2012, starring Kevin James, Henry Fonzie Winkler, our own John Dyson, and filmed in Lowell, Massachusetts. Send us your featured extra roles via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, middleweight champion of the world Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Sandy Millen. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Connor Lestoka, host of the Citation Needed podcast featuring the best of Wikipedia's worst writing, and the man behind the men behind Riff Tracks. Check out Connor's work at both citationneedtumblr.com and rifftracks.com. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 268/804 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Graveyard, we're passing right now. People are dying to get in there.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.